This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Ugh. You said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. List it in minutes with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope. But I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
I harvested 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to another Western Rookie Podcast brought to you by Go Hunt. Today, we're going to be covering some big changes that I'm sure everyone has been hearing about coming out of Colorado. And for this conversation, I am going to open up a Rain energy drink. We're doing Razzleberry today. Not my favorite, but it's a good one. Ah, so we're wired, full of caffeine, and ready to talk about some changes. So as we all know, Colorado has been going through a lot of changes in the last few years. So 2 years ago, Colorado voted by ballot box biology, basically. They voted at the polls to reintroduce wolves by a margin, I believe it was 49.7 to 49.5%. It was 0.2 of a point difference between the two groups. I'm not sure exactly which number it was, but extremely close margins. And it caused a ton of turmoil. Hunters about unanimously are against this. Ranchers unanimously are against this. The people that voted for it largely were city center urban people. We'll see how it goes. So here's my thought on it. I choose to not personally get too upset about the wolf reintroduction, and here's why. There was evidence that wolves were moving south out of Yellowstone across Wyoming, and coming into northern Colorado on their own already. So a lot of biologists said this would have happened on its own. We didn't actually need to vote on it. And it would have been a natural thing. It would have had a lot less, it would have caused a lot less turmoil. And so it was kind of just, we just divided people for no reason. Did they know that? Probably not. You know, it's government, it's politics. The governor of Colorado, obviously a huge advocate for wolf hunting. Or sorry, I apologize, I misspoke. Governor of Colorado, huge advocate for wolf populations. I do not think he is an advocate of hunting. I think it's the opposite. I think he would like to see no more hunting. So that's my opinion. But, you know, he's not a hunter. He doesn't seem to do much policy that supports hunting. So that was the huge change. Then we got into 2024. We heard Dan Gates on the podcast talking about the cat hunting ban that they were trying to put on the ballot in Colorado as well. And thankfully, due to all the work that Dan and CRWM did, we won that one. We beat the anti-hunting groups with that anti-hunting bill and policy on the ballot box. And so we won the second one, which is good. Now this year, 2025, Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission met and they have approved several changes that are going to take place in 2028. So we have 3 years to kind of plan for these changes, but some of these changes are massive, massive changes. So we want to make sure we cover them and we continue to cover them because these changes will impact how you apply for hunts in Colorado moving forward. So first huge change. For the 2028 application season, they are splitting the draw type. So right now, Colorado has a preference point draw system for deer, elk, antelope, and turkey, which means if you have the highest number of points, you draw the tag. Now, little known fact, Colorado actually has a hybrid draw system currently, which means if you have above a certain threshold of points. For example, if you have 10 points, if an elk tag requires 10 points to draw on average over the last 3 years, those hunt codes will have up to 20% of the permits allocated randomly through the hybrid draw. Not many people know about this, and here's why. So it's for these hunts that take forever to draw, like units 1, 2, 10, 201 in the northwest corner. You know, it's max points 30. Like, it's mathematically, it's impossible for me to draw these hunt codes. It's for these hunt codes that they wanted to allow at least some chance for someone to draw. So the reason why not many people know about this is because non-residents, the hybrid draw occurs after the normal draw. And all of the non-resident deer and elk quotas are already met during the normal draw. So we never get to a hybrid random draw for non-residents. That's the reason. And so not many non-residents knew that there ever was a hybrid draw, but the hybrid draw is getting removed and it's getting replaced with this split draw. So biggest change, and I'll read it, you know, right here. For the primary deer, elk, bear, antelope, and turkey, the quota for each hunt code will be divided into two equal parts, 50-50, with half the quota going out on a preference point draw, like we have today, and half to a bonus draw. Now, everyone will have a chance to draw a permit for deer, elk, bear, antelope, and turkey in the state of Colorado. Before, you needed the points to draw, and if you didn't have the points, you had zero chance of drawing. So, what are my thoughts on this? Number one, I do not like preference point systems. I don't think they're good for hunting. Right? It's very complicated, but when we have a unit, let's just say unit number, the northwest corner in Colorado, units 1, 2, 10, and 201, they have incredibly high quality elk herds. And right now, CPW state is gives out a certain allocation of tags. I don't know if it's 5. I don't know if it's 10. It's very small. And a lot of people want to hunt that, which means most people will never get a chance in their life to hunt that tag. And I don't like that. I do like the fact that we're protecting our resource and we're limiting and monitoring how many tags we give out and making sure that the population can sustain that. That's all good. But the preference system, it makes it so that a lot of people will never mathematically even have a chance to draw. I will never have a chance to draw the northwest corner under the old system. What preference points are good for, and I will give them credit, they are good for planning out, you know, a 5 or 10 year rotation of states. You can bank on drawing because I know I have. Most of us only get so many days each fall to spend hunting, which means when I'm out there, I like to make sure I have the best tools at my disposal for getting the job done and bringing home some meat for the family. That's why I've been using Go Hunt Maps exclusively these last few years whenever I'm outdoors. Whether it's back home chasing whitetails or out west looking for elk and mule deer, the Go Hunt Mapping software has quickly become my favorite application for a number of reasons. Of course, they've got the incredible land ownership data, the private and public land boundaries, but they've also got a lot of really easy-to-use features. And two of my favorites are the species distribution layers that I can toggle on and off and make sure I'm spending my time out west in the right areas. There's nothing that sucks more than spending a couple days of your hunt only to find out you weren't even in the right part of the unit for where those animals like to be during your season. Another thing I love about the app is how they've implemented the hunts folder, where I can sort all of my pins and tracks for a specific hunt in a single folder. So right now I'm working on my 2024 Wyoming rifle antelope folder, and I've got a 2024 Nebraska archery whitetail folder. I even use this feature back home chasing whitetails. I've got a folder that's called Whitetail Bucks for each one of my farms, and whenever I see a mature buck, I draw a line, and I've got it color-coded based on the age of that deer. So over all the years of hunting, I start to build up a log of data of where I've seen all of the mature buck movement, and it really helps when it comes time to be putting out next year's stands and setting up next year's plans. Go check out the maps, and you're really going to see what I mean about how it's easy to use. It's a great tool to have in your pocket no matter where you're hunting this fall. And the best part is it's included for free with your Insider membership, which means you only have to go to one place to get the best resource for the Western hunter. And if you don't have Insider yet, you can get $50 of free gear shop credit when you sign up using the code WESTERN. That's right, they're going to give you $50 of free credit this fall for whatever piece of equipment or gear you've got your eye on. Go check it out at GoHunt.com, use the code WESTERN, get a little bit of money back, and let's start getting fired up for season because it's going to be here before we know it. Have enough points. It's good for that. That's true, but I don't know if overall they're good. A bonus point system, there's always a chance you can draw, but it gives preference to people that have been waiting longer, which I think is maybe the better way to go about it. You're still going to have in a bonus point system, a majority of people that draw tags are going to have a lot of points. Now, I think my favorite is a combination of first come, first serve tags and random lottery. So what do I mean by that? First come, first serve is over the counter, quote unquote, but it wouldn't be unlimited over the counter. There's very few places in the country that can sustain unlimited over the counter tags. There's just very few places that have that population and the supply and demand curve in the right spot, right? Now, there are some places where you could probably do it. You know, nobody really wants to hunt elk in the plains because of a number of things, right? Public land elk in the plains, because there's not a huge herd. The herd that's there is on private. There's very low public land percentages. I mean, there's maybe a couple people like that challenge. And so it's like, great, give them an over-the-counter take. And that's basically what happens. They're a 0 point draw is what it is. But I think it should be some type of first come first serve that gives people access to hunt if they want it, and then a random lottery with no points. And for certain, maybe every year, or maybe certain units get allocated or designated is the proper term as a limited entry or a high, whatever, high demand unit. And there's a waiting period, you know? So example, if we go to in Colorado, in this Colorado example we've been talking about, if we were to go to a random lottery and I draw unit one in the northwest corner, super, super high quality unit, very hard to draw, I should have a waiting period before I can apply to unit one again. I think 5 years, 10 years, right now it's a lifetime. So, you know, is it that big of a deal to wait 10 years to draw again? That's still faster than I could ever hope to draw now. Right now it would be, if I had max points and I drew this year, I would be done. I would have also been 60, 70 years old, and I would never have another chance to draw again. And if I don't have max points right now, I'm not going to draw either. So it's either way, it would be better, but it would give people a chance. So that's what I think about these point systems. Now, when we go to this, I think it's a step in the right direction going from all preference to preference and bonus. But, and this is why, this is a big but, and this is why I always advocate to go hunting more often. Don't, if you're at 5 points, don't get to 10. Spend them at 5. If you're at 10 points, don't go to 20. Spend them at 10. If you're at max points, you're kind of stuck, and I feel for you. And if you're at max points, this change does not help you at all. And I will, I mean, I feel for you. You've been waiting 30 years potentially to hunt a certain unit in Colorado, and now they're changing the system. And who knows if you're going to be able to draw it with those 30 points you've built or not. I don't know, but this is one of the reasons I always advocate for spending your points sooner rather than building them up, is because there is an opportunity cost that you are paying by building points. You are not hunting those 30 years. You aren't getting experience. You aren't taking bulls. A lot of things you're not doing. And there's a burden, a risk liability burden, because states can do this at any time. These are not constitutional or Bill of Rights quality rules, right? These aren't constitutional laws that dictate how they do their game management. These can essentially change every time the commission wants them to. We could get to 2028, they change this draw type, people could be up in arms, get, you know, really advocate for different commissioners to get appointed to Colorado, and in 2032, they could do it all over again. It doesn't... There's no guarantees that the way our point systems have been for the last 30 years is what they're going to be in the future. And this is exactly, the proof is in the pudding right now. And so I always advocate for that. So if you have a ton of points, I feel for you. I'm not sure what to do. I would maybe say, hold on, try to, if you have a ton of points right now, I would say, look at the best tag that you can draw and see if you would be happy with that, if that's worth your investment in points. If you're one step behind units 1, 2, 10, and 201, go see if 851 meets your criteria. Go see if some of these other units, would you be happy drawing a 29-point unit instead of a 31-point unit and getting your hunt and getting your experience? Now, maybe you have a specific landscape you want to hunt. I would say maybe hold out, maybe see if you can draw in the next 2 years. If you're 3 points behind, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's going to be really hard. In Colorado, there's a huge gap between like 12 points and basically max points, where there's dead no man's land in the middle, where there's nothing really getting better, you know, than your 12-point unit. So I would say maybe hold on, see what this new system looks like, and make a decision. Maybe hunt some other states and build some points. Obviously, go hunting somehow. If you're in the 15 to 20-point range, I'd maybe take a strong look at some of those 12 to 15 point units and see if those are worthy of your investment in points, and burn them. And if you're less than that, I would really say try to find a hunt before 2028. So we have the 2026 application period and the 2027 application period still. We have 2 years because 2025 is over. See if you can't get those points to use in the next 2 years and get a great hunt. And that way you're starting over. You have no liability. You're not holding a big burden of points that you need to figure out how to spend. And is this new system going to help or hurt? I think this new system is going to drastically help people with no points or low point holders and drastically harm high point holders. So that's why I want you to be going into 2028 on the low point end, because you're going to benefit the most from this system. So that's my thoughts on the split draw type. I'm not sure how they're doing the bonus, if they're doing additional points for that, or if they are doing random lottery. But I'll read directly from CPW on the new split draw. A split draw methodology will be used in the primary draw for all deer, elk, bear, pronghorn, and turkey licenses. The quota for each hunt quote will be divided 50-50, with half of the quota going to a preference point draw and half going to a bonus draw. See Appendix A for descriptions of draw types. I guess we could go find that. If the quota cannot be evenly split, the extra license will go to the preference point draw. The previous hybrid draw is removed and replaced with this methodology. Let's go CPW Appendix A split draw type methodology. Let's see if we can find it fast. Appendix C. Okay, descriptions of draw types. Bonus points way to draw. This type of draw functions more like a raffle or a names in a hat. Applicants apply once but can have multiple applications or chances per species in the draw. However, unlike a true raffle, the number of applications is usually based on the number of preference points the individual holds. Draw odds increase as applicants gain more applications per species, but the draw is still random. This is not exactly how CPW's weighted draw works. However, the odds are statistically identical. I'm not sure how that works. I'm wondering if that means then 50%, first they'll do a preference point, see who draws. If you draw, you're out. And then they go to the bonus points, and they take the number of preference points you have and then do some type of squaring for a lottery. You know, and the number of preference points squared. Say you have 30 points, you square that, that's 900. You go in with 900 tickets and see who draws. I'm not sure how that's going to work. That would probably make the most sense, because it would still benefit, you know, the high point holders to some degree, even through this change, rather than starting over and building a new bonus point pool. But that's the split draw. So biggest change by far. Be aware of it. Plan for it. Make sure you go into 2028 with a plan. And that I'm advocating that you probably spend your points in 26 or 27 if you can. If there's something that you like. If you're like, hey, you know what? There's absolutely nothing. I'm going to roll the dice, see what happens in this new system. Maybe that's how you get 1-2-10 or 2-1. If you're 3 years behind, statistically, you're never going to catch up. But now maybe you can draw on the bonus. So we'll see. But if you're at 5, I kind of recommend, you know, go on a 5-year point unit. There's a lot of great units in Colorado from 5 to 10 points. Go spend them and then start fresh in 2028. But have a plan. Whatever your plan is, it's okay if you don't want to follow, you know, what I'm saying. It's your choice. It's your adventure. So this is a choose your own adventure. I'm just saying, make sure you think through. Go on Insider, go on Filtering 2.0, start playing around with draw odds, see how close you are, see what maybe else is out there for units that you could draw in the next 2 years, and make a decision on what you're going to do, because this will change all of our draw odds in 1 year. Bam, 2028, everything will be different when it comes to drawing tags in Colorado. So moving on, next big change, probably the second biggest change Colorado's making, is the allocation for residents and non-residents. Need a caffeine break. So starting in 28, 75% of deer, elk, bear, antelope, and turkey licenses will go to residents, and 25% will go to non-residents. The only way that allocation could be modified is if there's insufficient demand to reach 75% resident allocation. So there was also the elimination of different high demand and low demand allocations. Under the current system, what we have right now, if a hunt code has more than 6 preference points for a resident to draw using that 3-year average, then the license was split 80-20. If the license was easier to draw than 6 points, then it was split 75-25. So now everything is 75-25. And as you could expect, Colorado residents don't love this. This isn't better for residents. It is better for non-residents. So it depends on where you are. You know, both sides of this have valid concerns and you know, reasons to be happy or unhappy. But this is, you know, directly from CPW. The non-resident allocation for all deer, elk, bear, pronghorn, turkey license is 25%, unless there's insufficient demand to reach 75% resident allocation. All hunt codes for these species will have the same residency allocation. No continued differentiation between high demand and low demand hunt codes. So another big change, especially for, I mean, this is for high demand. So not only is this, you know, some tags are getting harder, but the ones that are getting harder to draw or having lower allocation for residents are the better hunt codes. I mean, that's how it works. When it takes more than 6 points to draw, that is generally a better unit. So this is a big change. So allocation rules apply to the first and second choices in the primary draw. So after first and second choices, when you get to your third choice, there is no more soft caps or hard caps. So any excess quota may go to non-residents. So no more than half of the non-resident cap will be included in the preference point half of the split draw. So interesting. So this is how they're going to apply the allocation to the split draw. So 25% of the tags can go to non-residents, so 12.5% will be included for the preference point half. No more than 12.5%. If they get through that, and then it sounds like maybe at the end, like third choice, they could get more tags as a non-resident if residents don't use up their quota. So another big change. Man, just big change after big change after big change. Here's a third big change. So regarding preference points in Colorado, so preference points are species specific. This hasn't changed. With the exception of turkey, only one. Hey friends, if you're listening to this podcast, I know you're an avid hunter just like myself, and we are always looking to get more time in the woods each season. One of the ways that's helped me get more time in the stand is by using Maverick hunting blinds. When I'm comfortable, I stay in the stand longer and I'm more focused on deer the entire time. I don't turn around so my hood cuts the wind and I'm not taking shelter from the rain. The best way to stay comfortable is with a hard-sided blind, and my favorite is Maverick's 6-panel Booner blind, which allows me to rifle and bow hunt out of the same blind. The best part is Maverick has a blind for every spot, so whether you're looking for a rifle-only spot or a bow and rifle option or even a round blind to cut the wind resistance down, Maverick has you covered. No matter which option you go with, you're going to be comfortable and sit longer in the stand for all of your upcoming seasons. Go to maverickhunting.com and use the code WESTERNROOKIE, one word, WESTERNROOKIE, to get 10% off your next blind. 1 point per species can be accrued each year. For turkey, you can get 2 in the spring and the fall when you apply. So preference points are either accrued by purchasing a point during the primary draw period or if unsuccessful in drawing a first choice license. No change. The first choice preference point only hunt code for each species is eliminated. That's the change. So now you don't have to apply for a point code, you will just buy a point. So in 2028, residents and non-residents will now be charged a preference point fee for deer, elk, bear, antelope, and turkey. The fee is $15 for residents and $30 for non-residents per species. So residents to this day have not been being charged for points because they buy the minimum tag to buy a point anyway. And build their, you know, and then their point comes free when they don't draw. So there really hasn't been any charge for residents. Non-residents, we're used to point fees. We're used to buying points. We're used to having to buy licenses in order to get points. Pretty much every state, there's no states out there that allow a free point except for, I know I apply for North Dakota and there's a small application fee, but I don't pay a specific point fee when I don't draw. So Now, it's $30 for non-residents. So if you get all of them, deer, elk, bear, antelope, and turkey, it's $150. I'm guessing you still have to buy your minimum qualifying license in Colorado. So now we're looking at $250 a year to build points in Colorado for all five species, which really sucks to me. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I have a good job. My wife has a good job. But, you know, these it just keeps coming. Like $250 for me, $250 for my wife. Allison, we're paying $500 in April to build points, and we're paying $350 in October and another $300 in September. It adds up. It certainly does. So residents will still be charged a fee. Applicants can select to opt out of paying the preference point fee if unsuccessful, but they will not gain points for that year. So you don't have to pay it, but you won't get any points, which doesn't, you won't draw. You mean it's pay to play, unfortunately. So now moving on. So these are now more specific changes to certain species that may not affect everyone, but next change, Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep, Goats, and Moose drawing system. So the new system will be a 100% bonus draw for bighorn sheep, mountain goats, and moose hunt coats, completely replacing the current weighted draw for these species. Applicants still must hold a minimum of 3 preference points to be eligible to draw a ram, a bull, or an either sex goat, and no minimum point thresholds for the females. The current system, every subsequent year that an applicant applies and is unsuccessful, they're awarded a weighted point. During the draw, application is assigned a random number, which is then divided by the number of weighted points accumulated by the applicant plus 1. This turns into a new number. The first tag is issued to the applicant with the lowest new number, and so on. So what does this mean in math, right? It's very confusing. So you build your 3 preference points, and now you can draw a bull tag or a ram tag, and you get a separate point for each year after that. I don't know if it starts at 4 or if it starts at 5, but let's just say someone's got 10 weighted points, right, for easy math. They've been applying for roughly 10 years. They get 10 points. How they determine the weighted draw system is they'll get a random number, right? Let's say their random number is 200,000. They take 200,000 divided by 10. Their new number that they go into the draw with is 20,000. Very high number. Probably not going to draw the tag. Now, let's say another person with 10 points goes into the weighted draw. They get assigned a random number of 10, right? Their random number is 10. They have 10 weighted points. 10 divided by 10 is 1. Now they do a plus 1 for the current year, I think it says. Well, they go in with 2. So they're going to draw the tag. Now, how does it... So the higher... It's like two things that go on. You want more points because you get a bigger number to divide by, and you want to get lucky and draw a really low top number, right? Your top number is the random. Your bottom number is your points. You want to keep your bottom number getting bigger. Your top number, you want to get lucky and have that be very small. And so hopefully, you know, eventually you get to a point where you got 25 points and you draw a random number of 50. So it's 50 divided by 25. You get 2 plus 1 is 3. You're probably drawing the tag. So that's how that weighted, that's how it goes now. In the future, it's going 100% bonus. Now, I'm not sure if they're doing a straight bonus, a squared bonus, a cubed bonus. I know in North Dakota, it's squared for the first 4 years. And on year 5, it becomes cubed. Put even more favor in those that are building, have built 5 or more points. So not sure how it goes there. Also new, you can apply as a group for the MSG tags. Group applications are allowed but restricted to 2 members, and they have to have the same residency. So you can either have 2 non-residents or 2 Colorado residents that can apply as a group. This is status quo for the sheep and goats, but it's expanded to moose and bighorn sheep. So there you go. Another change. This one's very common sense, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime harvest for moose, sheep, and goat. And it's probably needed. So most people who haven't taken one will mostly think this is what should happen. If you've already drawn one of these tags and harvested a sheep, moose, or goat, you're probably hoping you could do it again and strike gold twice. But overall, you know, people kind of understand that these sheep, moose, and goat tags in the lower 48 are extremely difficult. And so making them once in a lifetime, I think, is a great idea. You know, I drew a once in a lifetime elk tag in a state where a lot of people never draw. It's less than 1% chance. So on average, I think it takes about 150 years to draw the tag. And I drew it on the first year. I don't think I should be able to draw that again unless the turds change or, you know, whatever. But, you know, let other people have a chance to experience those special hunts. So this one, I think, is very common sense. I don't think there's going to be a lot of slack on people pushing back on this one. So preference points for the MSG, same as the other stuff. All points are now considered preference points moving forward. There is no more weighted points with the new bonus point draw for the MSG tags. So that's making it more clear to understand how it works. They're also adding a desert bighorn draw in 2028. The draw will be status quo and is entirely random draw for desert bighorn sheep in Colorado. No preference points will be gained or used for this species. CPW noted that this is the proposed draw type for any new limited species draws added in the future. So it looks like CPW is moving towards a random draw for all new limited species in the future. It looks like they're trying to move away from preference point draws, which is another great reason to use your points. The state has basically just stated that they want to move away from preference point systems. And so if you have a ton of preference points, you are holding a liability. You have a burden and opportunity cost that you're paying. And CPW could change the whole system up. It wouldn't be the first time a government agency has done something that the people didn't really want. So keep that in mind. Try to use them. Try to use them or lose them. They also changed a little bit of how they reissue licenses. So this is for any licenses that didn't get drawn, or like there was insufficient applications and there's extras, leftovers, licenses that are not paid for by the deadline or returned. They're automatically reissued to the next eligible applicant in the draw order based on residency that has opted in to accept auto reissue. So it looks like they're implementing an automated reissue process. Applicants can opt in to accept auto reissues by a hunt code during the application process. They can also change their opt-in status at any time prior to being issued a license for that hunt code. So this is reading this before I did the episode, I think this is interesting. This is a good idea for people that are not unit specific or they're tied to a specific state or landscape. They just want an elk tag. You know, apply in Colorado, we didn't get drawn. We could get a reissued tag up until, you know, maybe we draw something else later in the year. Maybe we pick up a surplus tag or a second draw tag in a different state. Then we can opt out. I think this is neat, and I think it maybe, I don't know how it changes, because the current system, they do a second draw, and then people kind of look at everything, and then everyone goes in and applies for the couple units that have leftover tags. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I like the idea of it. It is a little bit to manage, you know, on the applicant side, to make sure, like, oh yeah, we drew, for example, Wyoming elk, right? We found out we drew Wyoming elk. Now I got to go back in and turn my auto issue off in Colorado. Is it the end of the world? No, it's just one extra step. You know, there's lots of steps to drawing these tags, as we see. So, second change to this, if a hunt code was applied for as a first choice during the primary draw, then all preference points for that species also become void if you get the auto reissue. So this means if you apply for unit one, 30 points, you don't draw, but you have auto reissue turned on and you maybe were next up in line and somebody doesn't pay, surrenders their tag. I don't know why you would do that if you drew unit one, but anyway, you applied for unit one, all of a sudden you get auto reissued a unit one tag. Since you picked that unit as a primary hunt in your first choice, you lose your points. If the hunt code was applied for as a second, third, or fourth choice during the secondary draw, then you don't use your points. So it's really, and it's no different than how the current application process works. And in Colorado, only your first choice uses points. The others, you keep your points. And so you can continue to build points. This is the same for the Rotto reissue. So I think it's a good rule to add in to make sure no one can hack the system and draw, you know, a really good tag as an auto reissue and then keep their points. I think that's a good idea. So any deer, elk, bear, turkey, or pronghorn licenses that are returned 2 weeks or less to the start of the season or returned at any time but do not have eligible applicants to auto reissue the license to will be placed on the weekly reissue list. Those licenses will be released at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays weekly, with a preview list posted the Tuesday prior. Licenses purchased during the weekly reissue release are treated as leftover licenses and do not require the use of preference points. So they're basically saying any tags that can't automatically reissue, or if it's too close to season, they'll just put them up for sale, basically, first come, first serve. Same as what they do today. So Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep, Desert Bighorn Sheep, Mountain Goat, Moose licenses returned 2 weeks or less. So these are MSG tags returned 2 weeks or less to the start of season will be manually reissued to the next applicant up in the draw order by residency based on next up report. Manually by CPW staff, not by the system. Customers must approve the manual reissue because it's a very expensive license. And so they're basically going to be called and said, hey, do you want this tag? We just got one back. Here's the charge, and all your preference points will become void if you take it. So, not much of a change. I mean, I think that's a good. Obviously, no one wants to automatically just get dinged with a $2,000 bill 2 weeks before season, because maybe you can't go. Maybe you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll do something else this year instead of a moose hunt. So, lots of changes. Lots of changes in Colorado. Lots of things going on. I don't know. Some good, some bad. I can see it from both sides. So not sure how it'll shake out, but 2028 is going to be a big year in Colorado, and we will make sure to cover this in our future Colorado application strategy articles and our application strategy bonus podcasts in future years to make sure people know, hey, this year in Colorado, 2026, 2027, might be time to use those points. Maybe want to refresh, go back into the 2028, the new system on a fresh, clean slate. We'll see, but that's what's going on in Colorado. Make sure you act accordingly, folks, and thank you for...
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.